17 of Capes and Commentaries. I'm Tyler Baker. Nathan Kennedy is here. And sorry we missed last week. It's all Nathan's fault. If we miss anything, it's always Nathan's fault.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I am the producer, as you guys say. And you know what? Sometimes we need to have a little break, damn it.
Yeah, but it's it'd been great if we got like the people like, ah, damn it, they made, where's the episode? But we didn't get, did we get anything about
Capes? Oh, no, I was getting messages on Sunday while I was like up in New York, because that's what happened. We hopped in the car because her cousin was getting married. That was a good 10-hour drive, so that was a lot of fun. It actually wasn't that bad. That's the key. You need to find someone that not only do you love, not only do you guys share the chores, but if you can ride in a car for 10 hours driving to upstate New York and it feels a lot less than that, then you got to keep her. Anyway, I was getting messages on Sundays like, hey, where's Beyond Retro? Where's Beyond Retro? I was like,
Beyond Retro. That's what I'm talking about. No one was after Capes and Commentary.
Well, I mean, you know, we don't get as many listeners to this as we would like at the moment, but in due time, it will happen.
Yeah, we decided just to boycott the podcast. Then we'll show them all.
I want to, first of all, real quick, to say hello to Jake Juggalo and JSP for joining us on this awesome episode. Yeah.
Great. I feel like I had something I had to say. But we do have a consistency with it. You know, we do have, you know, just like to know that people do enjoy it. You know, we do get the occasional feedback and stuff like that.
Oh, no, I get messages, and I know Joe gets messages. I guess
messages when he takes shit, you know. It's,
well, no, it's, no one's going to message you. They don't care.
I don't know why. You think I'm that unlikable? You think I'm just like, yeah, yes. That's what it is?
Yeah. We're going to have to give you a gimmick change. You know, maybe like a top hat or a monocle or something.
Mr. Peanut.
I saw you posted Destro, or you changed your cover photo to Destro, and Doug had commented, and he's like, how about Pimp Daddy Destro? That's what we need to do. We need to get you a tank top that's got like cheetah print or something on it.
Man. Remember, I wore
it back. Come back with the Fu Manchu. You remember you used to have that at one point?
Bring that
back. And maybe grow your hair out in the back a little bit. Keep it short in the front, and like grow a mullet. I think it would work.
I'd have to wear that to work as well, you know. This is not something I could pull a Joe Amato and come in, put on my gimmick, and become one with the mask.
Perfect.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, we're going to, changing your gimmick. Leave a comment down below on any ideas of Tyler's look and how we can change his perception to fans physically. Through our live shows.
I don't know. I may not be the physical. Maybe it's just because, you know, I'm the angry guy all the time. I'm the guy that's down on stuff all the time. I'm the guy that's got something angry to say. I'm like, I don't like this and I don't like that.
You're turning them away.
Maybe that's what it is. Because Joe's positive, but hard for Joe to say, no, this sucks, man. He doesn't. He says everything's great. You know, or
I don't think he says. No, he doesn't say. I feel like Joe and I are kindred spirits in the fact that we can be like, all right, yeah, it wasn't that good, but we're whatever. We're done. Anyway,
we're here to talk about quality entertainment here today, as we always are in Capes and Commentaries.
We're coming back to Batman.
We're going back to, it's been a while since we've actually done the actual animated series. And this is definitely one that's, I'd say in the top, probably top two episodes, maybe in the best episode ever of the animated series. Almost Got Him, which was a big fan favorite of mine as a kid, because I remember seeing the advertisements on Fox when they would advertise the new episodes, like the day before, you'd see the ads for, you know, tune in tomorrow, it's, you know, Harvey Dent becomes Two-Face. You know, I remember seeing a lot of the ads for a lot, and Almost Got Him was one. I was like, oh my god, it was Because for me, and it always has been, probably forever will be, a big deal when you see heroes team up with other heroes and villains team up with other villains and vice versa. It's always a big deal. You're always going to get my attention. And with cartoons, that was the biggest draw to me is when you'd see villains team up and in Batman. Because I at that time, I hadn't seen the Super Friends cartoons and the Legion of Doom and all that. This was the 66 show, the one show that I had seen. I'd seen the movie, and of course you said in crossover, that was a big deal, but in this it was a really big deal to see this. And and they had also had a crossover with the Secret of Bruce Wayne, where Hugo Strange brings in Two-Face, Joker, and Penguin to find out his secret identity or who Batman is. That was a big deal, but this was even bigger to me. And I just have always liked this episode. And when it came out on DVD, I could not wait to watch Almost Gone for like the first time, and probably since it came out on TV, it had been so long. So
was that the first episode that you watched when that set came out?
When that set came out, season two, yeah, that was the first episode I went to. I watched the commentary as well. It was just because it's a highly celebrated episode, and I always remembered it fondly as a kid. You know, I remembered the Two-Face story and the Joker story and the story the most, and Killer Croc and the Rock. Even as a kid, that resonated with me because it was great. It was just fun to see them hanging out playing poker together, you know.
And not only that, but if you've never seen this episode before, be prepared. Nice little surprise. It's just a very cool story that how. We say this all the time on this show. How can you do all of this in 22 minutes, and yet they can have a 2.5 hour long movie and just not get it right? So
yeah, it's nothing but filler. It's just fat and gristle and actual meat on the bone. No protein coming off of the. It's just strictly crap junk. It does nothing for you, and you feel bad when you're done eating. You know, you just like I got nothing from this. I got the shits. I got a stomach problem, and I keep belching over and over again with this. That's what it's like to watch the current, you know, Marvel and DC stuff. And yet, you know, this show got it right. I say 90% of the time, the episodes were on par. So I'll never understand why a movie that's given 2.5 hours is just. I think, like Nathan used to say, I'd rather look at my own butthole.
Now, I'd rather look at my asshole in the mirror for 2.5 hours. A question was posed to us just now. Have we pre-ordered the Blu-ray set? And I haven't yet. The price point is fantastic. The only price, and I was going to get into this while the intro was going when we started the commentary, but I hate the packaging. I don't know if there will be another release. Like, you know how when the 66 series came out, they released them individually as well, and they had the set. My main problem that I have with the set is they have it almost like in a book. So when you open it up, the disc is in a sleeve, and I would prefer it to be in a case.
I like it. Cause the Alien Quadrilogy sets like that too. And I always thought that. And so is the, not the Rocket. Yeah. The Quadrilogy. That's the only one I got that's like that. But
well,
I mean,
I think that works when we're talking Alien Quadrilogy and there's, 4, 5, 6 discs, but we're talking about multiple discs spread across 4 seasons of a show. I just feel like it would have benefited being in a case. I guess what I could do is just pre-order that, go online, because I've done it before with some of my other sets, and buy like a multi-disc case, put them in that, maybe print out some cover art somehow.
Yeah.
And do it that way. From a collecting standpoint, with it being on the shelf, I would prefer at this point in my collecting career, whatever you want to call it, to just have it accessible on the shelf, pull it out, open it up. Here's the disc. Not here's like this thing that I'm going to have to flip through just to, I don't know, maybe. And I don't like the fact that they put the mini pop figures in there, and they also
I don't need the pop figures. Yeah, that's not a selling point for me.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you would have just put them in regular cases, I feel like the cost itself would have been a lot lower than the price point that's already been stated. Like right now on Amazon, as of this recording, I want to say it's $87 and some change. Yeah. It's either 83 or 87. So I'm probably going to pull the trigger on it. I just wish that they had an alternative. It's like, well, you can have this collector's edition that comes with the pops, comes with whatever else, or you can just get the standard release in a regular case. That's the way that I would go, because I just don't need all that extra shit anymore. Like,
no, I don't either.
Yeah, before it was cool. Now I'm just like, I'm thinking just shelf space. I don't know. I need to go through my collection again and sweep through it and be like, I'm probably not going to watch this again. Just take stuff out and just get rid of it. I need to really start downsizing it to, like, this is what I want to keep. This is what I know I'm going to watch. But for the price that it is now, because it was over $100, I will probably buy it on it, because it comes out next month, so there's not much time left.
Does Amazon charge you immediately on their pre-orders?
No. You only get charged once it ships, which
it's in my basket right now. I just hit to pull the trigger because some pre-order stuff they charge at the moment, and I don't have an extra $87 right now at the moment.
I've never been charged for pre-ordering something as soon as I do it. It's always
Super 7 charged me for some of their stuff in advance. All the pre-order stuff you have to pay for in advance. So that's why I always check, because I don't do too many pre-orders. Most of the time it's just I wait till it comes out. But, I want that set when it comes out. I'd like to have it when it's available to everybody. So that way we would do our commentaries for that. We're watching it on Glorious Blu-ray.
Well, I wouldn't have, unless I get a external Blu-ray drive or get a new monitor and then get a Blu-ray player. That way I can have everything hooked up in here, which is the route I kind of want to go, because that would be easier, because some stuff now I've upgraded to Blu-ray and don't have the DVD anymore that I know we might come around to and do movie commentaries, what have you. So I probably need to get on that. But we should probably go ahead and get going here. Yeah, link down below as always. Well, not as always, but with Batman the Animated Series, it's always a little bit better. In regards to the link that I left today, just scroll down a little bit, because if you open it up, it's got all this other stuff. Go down below, click play. I don't know if there's ads. If there are, apologies, but or you can watch it on your copy of the DVD. Or it's not on Amazon Prime anymore, which I was scrambling for that. I'm like, got to get the show started. Sent you the invite. I'm like, I'll click on this. Where's the... So I had to go in there, grab the set, open it up. I'm like, all right, what disc are we on? Disc 3.
Disc 3, okay. Season 2, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, feel free to click below. If you're joining us through Podbean here in the future, then come check out the YouTube page. Subscribe.
Yeah. We do emphasize Podbean more on this one, because we say it all the time. It's about the commentary, not the visual. So yeah, we're just here for the audio. And if you want to see our reactions when we get excited or angry or something, you can always refer to YouTube. But
check out my sweet Boogie Nights poster hanging on the door back there.
Yeah, that he's had for since high school, right?
Yeah.
I got back at
Waves Music.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, they had all the, because I really think around that time I got this, and I want to say you and I were friends, and you got that Saturday Night Fever poster. Yeah, yeah. I think it was around that same time. But yeah, I had it hanging in my room in front of my computer for the longest time, because I loved that movie way back when, and it's honestly still one of my favorites to this day. It holds up. Anyway, enough about Boogie Nights. Let's dive into some Batman.
All right. 3, 2, 1, action.
Did you see the video where it had it split in half to show the remaster, like what it's gonna look, the intro look like on Blu-ray?
I think that may have appeared on social media once, but I can't
say it's gonna for sure. It's gonna be good. Like, it looks...
Oh, no, I didn't question it. Like, the minute they said Blu-ray, I'm like, they got my money. I mean, I'm not going to question it, because, I mean, not too many Blu-rays don't look too bad. I mean, like, look like they didn't even try on this one. But I felt like this show is going to look great on Blu-ray no matter what. Well, do you remember when you first saw this episode? Was this something that you saw on when it was a regular show on Fox? Was this syndication years later, not to the DVDs?
I have vague memories as a kid. I obviously picking up the DVDs is when it really like stuck, obviously, because those came out not that long ago, really, when you think about it.
I think we'd just gotten out of high school, I think, when these sets had come out. And I like this opening where all you're just seeing is their hands and you hear the voices and you know who's sitting at the table just based on their hands. And even the commercial's already spoiled it for you, but just opening it up, I think it's a great intro to see who's at the table. And I'd like to think that this is what villains would do.
When they're not in Arkham, they're just hanging out playing poker.
Yeah, that there is a camaraderie. They would turn on each other over nothing, but in their downtime, they all have common or a lot of things in common, like Joker cheating already into the game, and it's just cool to think that there is a camaraderie amongst villains that you know they're all out for themselves, but half and half milk there for Two-Face.
Yeah, of course.
It's just fun to think that there's a brotherhood amongst villains to a certain degree, you know, and that this is what they would. It has a Dick Tracy feel to it. Like I think of the Dick Tracy movie when I see this, because you know the opening scene with Lips Malice's gang playing cards.
Well, I mean, the show has that aesthetic of that time period.
Which God, a Batman movie that looked like this would be tremendous. Like where you've got technology in it, but everything looks like it was done in the 30s and 40s.
You know, I've been seeing a lot of things online where people are like, I want to see a Batman Beyond movie and Michael Keaton needs to come back and play Bruce Wayne. And I'm like, hey, man, that was our idea like months ago.
And I mean, I almost feel like that kind of thing's been dancing around for a while.
Yeah.
And of course, all the best ideas, they're lingering around and, you know, some corporate douchebag at Warner Brothers is like, I ain't doing that. We got to hire who's popular with the kids. Get us the latest hip-hop rapper. We'll put him in there. Or some bullshit like that. But doing something like this or a Batman Beyond allows you to do not a reboot, not a soft reboot, not a sequel. It's starting from scratch with something that hasn't been done before. And that's why I feel like this is the way they would need to go. Something that pays homage to this, you know, that looks like a Dick Tracy movie with Batman in it.
I'm gonna say hi to Eric Amon, and he brought this up. I don't know if the show would have existed if not for the 89 movie. At least it would have been different, particularly in the aesthetics, in my opinion. That's entirely possible. Because, you know, I feel like a lot of this show was sort of based off of like that world that Tim Burton created for his Gotham between this and Batman Returns. If it had gone another way, then yeah, the show, I feel like the show probably wouldn't have looked the way that it does.
Well, it gave the green light that, you know what, Batman doesn't have to be silly anymore. And that's what we have Tim Burton's Batman for. One of the biggest points it gets is to show that Batman can be taken seriously and it'd be something that everybody loves. And it works in a cartoon as well. That's why I always hate when they feel like if it's a cartoon, it's got to be silly and hokey and full of bubble gum and just nothing but bad jokes. And, Batman punching Poison Ivy. Like, that's ballsy, dude. That's something you wouldn't see in today's cartoons because they'd find some sort of, oh, it's politically incorrect. You're going to go, you know, go to jail and be sued and raped in the ass and all kinds of these casualties against, you know, women or some nonsense.
Well,
like
this segment right here with Poison Ivy, honestly, with the pumpkins around, I've been sitting at work all week and I'm just like getting in the mood for fall.
Poison
and
Ivy.
That too, but fall and Halloween coming around. I got that Universal Monster Blu-ray set and checked out Dracula last week, and I'm itching for more. You know, I'm excited. I always like this time of year. I hate the fact that people only think that horror films can be watched around this time period, because that is not the case. But I'm excited about it. I think we're going to carve some pumpkins this year. I just hope it's actually cool and it just doesn't jump right into wintertime like it's done lately.
That's what it always does.
Yeah.
With exploding pumpkins. I just love Joker's sarcasm. Mark Hamill's Joker. He's such an egomaniac and wants to downplay everybody's almost got him story. Like I just love that about the Joker. I mean, aside from Joker's, Two-Face has got the best story. Because it's Two-Face, and I like how they throw in the nod of getting the giant penny, of how Batman got that. I think it's just a fun little nod.
Yeah, I always enjoyed that, not only in this show, but the comic books as well, the giant penny and the T-Rex mm-hmm. in the Batcave.
And just watching two, this is our first time of talking about Two-Face on the show, and I mean, to this day, I mean, in my opinion, you know, I've always thought this is probably about the most definitive Two-Face we've ever gotten and will ever get. And I still would like to see a story done with it, even if it's in comic book form, whatever, of Billy Dee Williams' Two-Face. I feel like that just leaves me so much to be desired. But this is about the best Two-Face we'll ever get, because I don't know why. At the time, I thought Aaron Eckhart's Two-Face was so good at the time. And like, God, what the hell was I thinking?
I would say, aside from some of his lines of dialogue, he did an all right job.
Well, but it's not the Two-Face that we expect. He's just a big whiner. And both Batman and Two-Face are just lovesick puppies in the movie. They're not the badasses that we know them to be. Like, it's just Two-Face going around saying, "Rachel, Rachel trusted you. Rachel, 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 shut up." You know, it's just, no, it sucks. Everything's just about him just being a bitch. And he looked great.
That was really well done CG.
Yeah, it looked great. But all Batman wants to do is almost stop being Batman. So he'd be my girlfriend, you know, and people want to give the 89 film shit all the time. Like, well, Keaton wasn't saying he'll give up being Batman. Like, Kim Basinger's right there in the Batcave, ready to give it up to him. And he's like, I'd like to, but he's out there right now, and I've got to go to work. That's Batman! You know, God, people are just like, no, man, Batman, you're not stupid. Told him about Christian Bale. No, it's not.
Batman has his forklift certification.
Yeah, he worked at Volvo.
He took the class, which is really boring, by the way. You have to watch these old videos from, like, the early 90s.
Oh, that's awesome. I love just how beat up Two-Face's coin is. Like, it's just so torn and tattered. Like, it's just jagged. I love a Joker. Looks at his cards there. and that's another thing. That's why I feel like Jack Nicholson's Joker, and this Joker, They're pretty much the same. Like, you love them and you laugh at them, but you both know these guys, and here we come with the inevitable Killer Croc, hit him with a rock. just looking at everybody.
And no one, everyone's just like, what? I feel like he's the Jordan Almarode in this situation.
Oh, clearly. But more likable. And Croc's breath is probably better, too.
Yeah.
Considering, yeah, yeah. I'd definitely say Killer Croc's breath is better than Jordan Almarode's. And I do appreciate that Penguin has a lot of similarities to Danny DeVito's, but is not the Danny DeVito Penguin.
Yeah.
And I remember that was one of the selling points for me on this show is when you're seeing the Penguin and Catwoman, they were just like Selena Kyle was blonde, just like Michelle Pfeiffer, and wearing, you know, well, not similar. She didn't have the black stitching and solid black. It was gray and black. It looked good visually and everything. And Penguin's version was very reminiscent of Danny DeVito, but had the constant, refined dignity.
And yeah, it wasn't just like, wah, 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 like the actual, like, I don't know.
Yeah, the more animal-like, yeah. Yes. Penguin, where he's got the hands, deformity hands, the hair.
I will say that when it comes to the Arkham games as well, I didn't mind the fact that they made Penguin Australian. That didn't bother me at all. I honestly kind of worked.
Wasn't aware of that, but yeah. I'm not opposed to something like that. As long as you're paying treating the character the way he should be. If you're going to change his nationality, even ethnicity, is that's why I feel like Billy Dee Williams still would have been the best Two-Face, been given the shot. Because it's Billy Dee Williams, man. Who the hell is cooler than Billy Dee Williams?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And I think he would have done a great job. But yeah, changing Penguin's nationality to Australian, no, I'd be down with that. I had no problem with that. And all these are fun little stories too. Like you could almost see a lot of these like all these stories that we're seeing here could have made full on episodes. Like you really could have seen the Poison Pumpkins being a Halloween based episode that the crew from this show put together to release around Halloween. This going to the bird zoo observatory, whatever you want to call it, being a full on episode. Like all these could have been episodes and not just brief little stories. Like that just shows you how damn good,
man,
the
like
attention and care was given to this show.
Hummingbirds with poisonous beaks would be a terrifying thing because they are quick, and I've seen a few of them multiple times just fight each other, and man, that would not be fun.
No. And I guess this kind of helps solidify, like, you know, the kind of threat Penguin can be, his affinity for birds and stuff like that, and umbrellas. But I mean, and not that he's like constantly like about birds and stuff like that all the time, but I mean, he's a crime boss. But I always thought that was kind of a fun thing about the Penguin, is to have him depicted as someone who has a fascination with birds. It's like one of his gimmicks and things like that. Birds of prey, so to speak.
Oh, no. Damn it. No, not again.
I mean, because we all know the Penguin is not. And even as a kid, I thought he was
kind of one of the weaker villains.
Yeah. And even though, like when I watched the 66 show, I'm like, oh, the Penguin's the villain. I was like, why can't it be Joker, Riddler, or Catwoman? But in the movie, I loved Danny DeVito because I was a fan of his as a kid, and I loved him as the Penguin. He just always seemed to be just one of the most unthreatening. From a child's perspective, as an adult, you understand it more. But as a kid, you're watching his. He can't go toe-to-toe with Batman. Joker, I feel like Two-Face can. The women villains like Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn, you kind of feel like they have an edge because they're a woman, and Batman's not going to directly hit them most of the time. Like in this episode here, but and we get some good quality Harley Quinn action here, and Joker doing his talk show here. Like this could be a full-on episode too, kind of like the whole Christmas with the Joker, where he's, you know, broadcasting live on Christmas Eve and threatening lives. You know, yeah, this could be a full episode because this has been great dialogue for Joker to have his own talk show for a full episode. I mean, if they had done this in a movie, like Jack Nicholson's Joker doing, you know, a talk show gimmick.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
You know?
I mean, you just know, like you get a hint of that with the commercial that he did, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. Love that Joker. Chances are you bought him already. It's like, that's what we would have gotten.
Man. I like how there's just a family right there on the couch and two guys with guns, and they're just like terrified. Boom. Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's great. Just these fun little nods that they don't focus on, but it helps paint the devastating situation that's going on here. And to see Batman successfully captured here, attached to this, you know, Frankenstein-like or mad scientist chair. This is cool, opening the show here with these bumpers.
JSP did bring up a good point of why I wasn't able to find them on Amazon, because I forgot that DC's doing that streaming service.
Yeah. Well, you can watch Justice League and Batman vs. Superman all you want.
I hate the fact that these companies are getting the idea, well, let's just start our own service. And like, it's going to reach a point where if everyone's got every service, then it's almost the same as, if not more, than actually having just cable, satellite, whatever.
Yeah, like, what's the point of having so many damn services? You know, if it's available on a home video, or I don't know, I just kind of feel like, well, I mean, granted, too, a lot of the stuff doesn't come on TV anymore. So if you don't own it, you're gonna, you know, and you don't want to pay some nonsense fee, or can't find it on Daily Motion or something like that. I mean, I guess so, but I feel like most Batman fans would own at least one volume of the series at some point. That's why I just kind of feel like I'd have no need for a DC streaming service when I've got all the Batman films I want. I've got all the Superman films I want. I've got all the animated series. I've got Justice League. I'm like, I have no reason to sign up for something like that. Like, yeah. What's the gimmick?
Unless it's got a good price point to it, which I imagine it will be $10 to $15.
I mean, they'd have to be offering something that, you know, giving us like a Batman Netflix type series, like with Daredevil, with good actors, good story writing, no, none of that Gotham TV series bullshit. You know, something like YouTube Red giving us Cobra Kai, like that's the gimmick. Like, okay, you got my money because you're giving me something quality in return for my money, along with not having to watch dumbass Geico commercials, just trying to watch a music video from the 80s or something like that.
You and those Geico commercials.
I hate car insurance commercials because they're not funny.
This isn't like a good surprise to Catwoman showing up to.
Yeah, I loved that as a kid. I was like, oh, this is awesome, because I love this Catwoman so much. I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer, but then again, too, I always remember Julie Newmar because I had such a crush on her as a kid. I mean, I'm always going to like those three Catwomen the best, but it's so cool to see a temporary alliance with Batman and Catwoman. I think they got married in the comic books. I don't read the current stuff anymore. I haven't in years, but I'm pretty sure that they got engaged, and I don't know if they went through with that or not. That's not something I would really want to see. I don't like seeing finite moments with Batman and Spider-Man, stuff like that. I like teasing the idea, always wondering and wishing what it would be like if they ever got together. And if they did, it's just for a temporary time, because Catwoman really is Catwoman. She's, you know, she likes the idea of being with Batman, but she is incapable of following through with it. It's like, who the hell would ever want to play cards with the Joker? Like, even if you're playing Uno with the Joker, Joker would find some way of just cheating like hell through the entire game. Croc's face. I remember as a kid kind of finding it a little hard to swallow that was Batman the whole time in the Croc outfit. I mean, it was cool at first, but then I kind of felt like, you know, I would have almost preferred Croc, like, or Batman crashing the room itself.
Yeah, but this was a nice little touch with the lights swinging down. It is.
I mean, like that's Bruce, like Batman himself, you know. Because as a kid, I'm thinking, like, what, the whole cowl and everything's underneath the outfit? Like, no, it's Bruce Wayne wearing, like, a Killer Croc outfit. But
and this is also awesome.
Yeah, because it's actually guns clicking. You know? And it just shows you Batman's attention to detail, like, to help sell that he's really Croc, saying that Croc would hit him with a rock. You know, even though Croc is an intelligent villain, I think, because I always loved how he's portrayed in this. Like, he doesn't come off as a buffoon. Like, you watch the episode Vendetta, you know, he doesn't come off as a moron, like just a mindless brute. You know, I like Croc in this show. I like Croc in general, but except Suicide Squad's Croc. Plus, Batman's got that luxury, too, of, like, messing around with so many women, you know, that if he's not directly tied down, you know, he has that leisure mentality of, like, hey, I'll sleep with Catwoman tonight. Don't worry. She's not sticking around in the morning anyway.
Uh, Which, I mean, I guess that works for his sort of lifestyle.
Well, yeah, it does work. I mean, he's, you know, you're always seeing hints of him, messing around and dating beautiful women as Bruce Wayne. Why not as Batman? Like, he's messed around with Talia al Ghul and Selena Kyle and Vicky Vale, and the list goes on and on. And that's, you just think, man, Bruce has no reason to really settle down anyway.
Right, Joe. You know?
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, a Batman like her pretty green eyes there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no protection either. Yeah. And then he's gone.
I like that. Just leaves her hanging like that. Leaves her wanting.
Well,
more.
I mean, because she's always doing it to him, too. So it's not.
Adrian Barbeau did such a wonderful job as Catwoman.
And that's awesome, too, how she's like almost got him.
Yeah. Nice way of tying up with all the major Batman villains all in one episode like that. It's unbelievable. And they could do a movie like that, too. Like, I just kind of feel like I was having a discussion with a guy at work the other day about, I was telling them that Sony actually had the nerve to say they were going to do a Sinister Six movie. Like, who the hell wants to see a Sinister Six movie? And most of the time people say you can't pull off a superhero movie with multiple villains in it. Well, I feel like they got it right with the first Avengers film. Why can't you have multiple villains in one movie and one hero? Like, just give it a lot of care and attention and don't present the villains as dupes and morons, and they have to be threatening, and the fact they're going to team up makes them an even bigger threat. It can be done. Just people choose not to do it right. You know, I still like the team up of Penguin and Catwoman. It's not like a direct full on team up. It's not like they're on screen the whole time together, kind of like Two-Face and Riddler's team up in Batman Forever, where they're actually forming a partnership. And I mean, they kind of do in Batman Returns, but they don't share as much screen time together as like Penguin and Riddler do. Not that, but I still feel like something like this would work great in a movie, that if you've done a series of Batman films, like you've done a Batman movie with the Riddler in it, the first film, Atomic, because don't always do the Joker, because I almost feel like, dude, we've seen the Joker, and they're continuing to botch the Joker even more with their Jared Leto's and a solo Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, who the hell wants to see that?
I don't understand the idea of, why do we need a Joker origin movie?
Yeah, that takes place in the 80s that has no Batman in it. And you're going to have Alec Baldwin, who's not in it, playing Thomas Wayne. Like, why do we want to see that? Warner Bros. Has become no different than Sony, where they feel like, well, we've got the rights to these characters. Let's just make movies. We're doing it with Venom. If Sony's doing that with Venom, we could do it with Joker. It'd be great. We'll cash in on the name. We'll sell it to like really shitty, lame-ass products to Hot Topic at Walmart. And all these dupes who say they're big DC fans, well, they'll be walking around with their kicking old school Joaquin Phoenix logo, Joker nonsense. And, God, it's just.
I think it's a terrible idea, but I will reserve total judgment until we see something on it. They could take it in a direction that would be impressive, but I don't have high hopes.
The Joker's the villain, though, that even though I like Killing Joke, I don't use that as his origin. Like, I like using what they did in The Mask of Phantasm in 89, where Joker was already a real prick, a nasty guy that went through this accident, and it just intensifies his already ugly personality. Not a struggling, failed comedian who can't make ends meet and is kind of duped into doing this, job for this, mob. That makes you feel sorry for the Joker. Like, even though Killing Joke is a great story, it's one of the best Batman stories, but that's not one I want to see from my Joker. I like, at least with Heath Ledger's origin, you don't know what happened. And I like that he pokes fun at that, giving all these different nods as to like probably what could have happened or probably all the stuff. You have no idea, but I at least appreciate it's left ambiguous. You don't know what he's really went through. And that's what I feel like that's what the Joker needs to be. It doesn't need to be changed to some sort of, I don't know what they'll do. Like, I love how they made a point the other day of saying that Joaquin Phoenix has been quoted saying he doesn't give a fuck about expectations that fans have. Like, well, what else would he say? He's not going to sit there and say, oh, we really want to cater to the fans. Like, no one is going to sit there and cater down to angry fans like Disney's not doing it with Star Wars fans. You know, Marvel's not doing it with fans that get pissed off at them. DC's sure as hell is not doing it. So I almost feel like, well, what else would they say? They're not going to sit there and denounce.
I think he can be a good Joker.
I think he could too, but I don't want to see in a solo film where we're going to, you know, feel sorry for the Joker and then he becomes the Joker, but there's no Batman in it because, like, they want to do it like with Gotham where, well, if Thomas Wayne is still alive, that means this Joker is how old when Batman comes to fruition? You know, not that I'm saying that joke that the villains couldn't be much older than Batman, but if Batman, if Bruce Wayne is still a child when this goes on, like, this makes no sense.
So by the time that he does become Batman, Joker's already like 50.
50, and you just kind of, you like, I mean, come on, look, you look at these villains that look like they're at their most in their 40s, that they're, not to say that, of course, people today are defining ages all the time. Like, age is no longer, but from a, you just kind of feel like, I mean, do we want, like, for example, like, someone looks like Clint Eastwood right now. Are we going to sit there and say that Harvey Dent is running around in the 80s at the same time as Joaquin Phoenix is? So that way, when Batman comes to be Batman, Clint Eastwood is playing Harvey Dent, becomes Two-Face at the age of 80. You know, do we want to see that? No. I hate that these studios are just pissing away opportunities to make great comic book movies. And so let's just make movies based on characters people dislike and just throw them in there. It'd be great. I hope it blows up in their face. I mean, I really do.
I mean, at what point are they going to, you know, they had mixed reviews on Man of Steel. It got a little worse with Batman v Superman. Suicide Squad came out. The trailer came out. People were kind of like, oh, it might be okay. And then it just wasn't that good. It was very generic. Bubble's going to burst at some point. We just got to wait for Marvel to put out that one film that just doesn't do well and then see what happens from there. Because I feel
Ant-Man Wasp didn't do that great either.
I think it did for what it was. I think their expectations for those are modest. I'm saying, like, you bring out a heavy hitter and it doesn't do that well. Then what? Like, it's something's going to give eventually. Because trends keep swaying in different ways. And we've been on this comic book train now. Where exactly would we start to pinpoint that? Did it happen with X-Men?
I wouldn't even say, because I almost felt like X-Men, like, and Spider-Man.
When did it start? Would we go with, like, Dark Knight? Is that when it really started to...
Well, that came out the same summer as Iron Man did.
Yeah. So we've been going at this at least a good 10, 15 years. Something along the lines is going
to happen. But even that, it's like no one expected Iron Man to be as good as it was. And to think that they were actually going to pull off an Avengers film, like, that was the end game. It wasn't telling the story of Thanos coming in. It was just, can we actually make an Avengers film? Like, that's what they were really building to. And because that was such a giant success, we can go even further. So, like, I kind of feel like, even though most of the Marvel movies that came before Avengers are you know, lackluster, except, you know, Captain America and the first Iron Man, I'd say probably after the Avengers is when it really got out of control. Probably so. When Batman came out, when the Nolan trilogy came out, it was just, you know, Batman just became super popular again. With everyone, like, wearing Batman shirts and very generic looking Joker shirts and stuff like that, and Heath Ledger's wife so serious is all over the place, and it lacks the charm of the simplicity of the 89 popularity, where it was just, they weren't, I don't know, I just kind of felt like it seemed more genuine with that stuff. And I don't think it's because of what we liked when we were kids. I just kind of felt like it just didn't have that same charm, and what the right word for it is. Because I really thought, like, when Dark Knight came out, we were going to have, like, another summer of Batman, because there was so much hype around it. But if Heath Ledger hadn't passed away, it probably would have been super excited, but I probably think that contributed a lot to it.
But it also kind of helped. because I think it brought up the general curiosity of the general movie going audience of, oh, well, oh yeah, he passed away. Let's check this out.
Yeah.
All that stuff started flooding in of what he did for the role and how he got into it. And, you know, ultimately some people believe that that is the reason that he died, is because it wore him down so much physically that all these problems started to happen. Whatever. It has also been brought to my attention that Ant-Man and the Wasp actually outperformed Solo, a Star Wars story. So there you go.
Well, I guess what I meant was, because I know Solo didn't do very well, and I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah, yeah. That.
But I guess what I meant, like, you know, because most of the Marvel movies now, they're all like big giant hits, and I just, you know, I had no intention of seeing Ant-Man and Wasp, but it almost kind of feel like it's hard to avoid. If they do well, you tend to know about it. And I didn't hear too much about Ant-Man and Wasp. You know,
I think it did pretty well for itself. Yeah. I mean, considering, like, who thought there would be an Ant-Man movie anyway, and that it would actually, people would want to go see it.
Yeah. They made two Ant-Man movies at that, like, back in the 90s. You know, I was like, what? Really? Ant-Man movie coming? Like, I never even really cared for the character, let alone see a movie of it. But it's unfortunate. I wish I would, as we said before, too, I don't want to repeat the same damn tune, because the people who listen to this, they deserve something better than me just sitting around saying the same shit over and over
again. Yeah, my little old grump ass over here.
Yeah. But,
sit down, kid. Let me tell you about how good it used to be.
Yeah. For someone who's 34 years old, you know. I just feel like there's a lack of effort and trying to tell the best kind of story. Because if others have come and done it before, why can't people today? When you've seen what stories can be told and how they were told and why they were told, can't that be seen on the big screen? You know?
Yeah. Something's going to give eventually. The bubble will burst. It's just a matter of time. And then something, I'm hoping, here's what I'm hoping. That the superhero movie bubble will burst. We can kind of move on past that. And with the new Halloween coming out, let's bring back the slashers. Let's bring them back. Come up with new ideas, though. I don't want to.
Oh, no. I was thinking about this, I think, this morning, because I rewatched the Halloween 2 trailer again. And I felt like if this is a success, this may cause people to go back and do sequels to particular films and just say, This is the sequel that you really should have.
Oh, gotten. Yeah, retcon a lot of stuff and just like, oh yeah, none of these happen. Yeah, I can see.
Yeah,
that. We'll see, like, where it goes. You know what's going to do well. You know what's going to do well.
Well, it may do well.
I think it will.
But if it's, I can't believe I'm saying this, because I thought it was a stupid idea to begin with. But the trailers do look quite good. So yeah, I'm pretty pumped at that. However, I'm not pumped at all to see Predator that I've been duping the scene.
Yeah, you don't know that yet. I was just talking about it. I wasn't saying that's a confirmed. Hey, let's go check this out. Because we might not. Because I would say only do it basically for the show so we can talk about it and people can hear our thoughts on it. But at the same time, too, I don't want movie theaters, man. I can't do them anymore. So bad.
Yeah. I mean, I bought my ticket to go see Transformers the movie when it plays at Regal at the end of the month. And I was like, I gotta make sure I do it early, so that when I pull a Nathan Kennedy, I have to sit up at the front of the screen there because I got to pick your seat in advance, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and quite a few seats were taken already. I'm like, oh boy, I hope this is for like people who want to go and actually watch it, not just sit there and, you know, oh, I got a vlog about my experience while I'm watching this on the big screen for the first time, you know, or some, you know, or someone's like recording themselves as Optimus Prime dies and I got to beat the shit out of them in the theater. You know?
One thing I hate about those Fathom events, they have them just on weird days.
Yeah, this is on a Thursday.
Yeah.
They're never, you know.
Do it on a day that I'm off.
Yes.
So I can fucking go to these things.
I will say this. I did say that Superman the movie is going to be on a Sunday in November. And I'm like, I want to see it because I want to see, you know, Chris Reeve on the big screen. I want to see the Superman credits on the big screen. Hear John Williams' theme bursting. like, and it's on a Sunday, you know. So definitely will try and check that out when it comes out in November. I think it's just for the one day too.
So I would not surprise me at all. But JSP brought up an Alamo Draft House, and I'm like, we got one about 3 hours away. So if something pops up there, I think we should make the trek. I mean, after I drove basically, I would say around about 22 hours in the span of 3 days, I think I can do anything now.
Oh yeah, I mean, we went to Raleigh and back in a day, and that's what, 3.5 hours driving.
Yeah,
yeah. If we can do that, we can go to Winchester and go to that Alamo Draft House. Is that one that does what the one out in Texas does though?
Yeah, they have like events and shit like that. Like this, when I was there, they were having some film festival that had just a lot of weirder offbeat movies. I guess I would classify it as sort of exploitation kind of stuff, but hopefully it'll be something good. I look forward to keeping tabs on the calendar of events and see what's going on.
Yeah. I hear about, like, they did like screenings for like Monster Squad or Conan the Barbarian or various Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like just classic films. Like, oh man, they never do anything fun around here.
Yeah. You know? Well, we'll keep tabs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up, I guess. If you're joining us on YouTube for the first time, make sure you hit that subscribe button and ring that bell so you get notified when we go live, so you can join all these guys in the chat. Check out the links below. We have the audio archive on Podbean. We have Joe's Custom Creations. Hit him up if you would like a customized action figure in the same scale as Masters of the Universe. Speaking of Masters of the Universe, Tyler and Joe have a podcast dedicated to the topic, Fans of Power. Link down below there as well. Go ahead and give that a subscribe and ring the bell so you get notified when they go live. Tyler, you and I are going to be doing that show this week because Joe's got some prior engagements.
Family stuff to take care of. So it'll be me and Mr. Kennedy tackling Fans of Power, and we're going to try and make Nathan look like a competent He-Man fan.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. They're going to be like, why do you even have that poster? Take it off the wall. I'd be like, yeah, I mean,
it'll be like a great tag team match. I'll have to go in and kind of carry the match, and I'll let Nathan come in and do a couple of high spots or something like
that. Yeah, yeah. He'll give me the hot tag, and I'll come in and do some high spots, and then I'll get my ass kicked and get pinned, and we lose.
Yeah, and then I got to come in, and I'll beat up on the heels, and the crowd cheers me, even though the heels got the win.
Yeah, and then they're going to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, and then Tyler will turn his back on me because he's tired of carrying the team. That's just how it's going to be. Yeah.
And I'll be the Shawn Michaels, and you're Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, true. Damn. If you want to watch me go through that barbershop window, just tune in on Sunday.
Yeah, and Joe could be Bruce the Barber Beefcake. Well, I mean, it'd be great if you take a picture of Beefcake doing this, but put Joe's mask on there.
I'll hit up Janish so he can give us a photo. I'll send him a picture and I'll be like, this is what I want you to do, and be like, if you want to understand the context of this, check out Capes and Commentaries.
But we're not by any means saying Joe might looks like this without the mask on. It's just a joke we just made.
It looks like Ed Leslie.
Yes.
Jesus. How weird would that be? Like, he finally reveals himself, and it's been Beefcake this whole time. That's why he put him on his WrestleMania card. He was just trying to get that payday. Anyway, thanks to JSP and Jake Juggalo and Eric Amon that joined us in the chat today. And I guess we will see you guys next week.
Yeah, we'll be back with either Thundercats, G.I. Joe, Silverhawks. I'd say probably one of those 80s flagship shows. We'll be back with one of those next week.
All right.
I forgot which one.
Well, until then, see you next time.